From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch, health, nutrition, fitness, and lifestyle. I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
And I'm Pete Stoughton. Added sugar is everywhere, in yogurts, in bottled salad dressings, in jarred tomato sauce and oatmeal packets, mac and cheese and pre-sliced bread, even in organic all-natural packaged granola. Dr. Anisha Patel is the leader of Stanford's Pediatric Sugar Research Program. She has co-written a new book called Half the Sugar, All the Love. It's a daily cookbook based on evidence-based science and will help families to cut the sugar and also will teach the basics of how to avoid added sugar. Dr. Patel, welcome to The Mountain Life.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. And I am so curious, partly want to join the sugar research lab. Could you tell us a little bit more about what's going on over at Stanford in your pediatric sugar research program?
Sure. You know, we are working on programs and policies related to childhood obesity and promoting healthy nutrition, specifically in community settings, so schools, also thinking about early care and education, so childcare facilities where children are spending a lot of time. And then another component is the clinical work we do in the clinical setting, talking to families about strategies that they can take in their own home environment.
So as your book, Half the Sugar, All the Love, and just getting a synopsis of kind of what you're proposing, my first question that I wanted to know is, where did all this sugar come from? I mean, why do we have it in so much of our food? Why do we need it in yogurt, salad dressings? You know, we probably infuse it in our pillows. What is going on with the U.S. that we have sugar everywhere?
No, that's actually a great question. So just to make a distinction to, you know, set the playing field here. So added sugar is really what we're worried about. So it's the sugar that's actually added to foods and beverages. So that could be sugar that you're adding to your coffee at home this morning, or even the sugar that you're getting in a product where the companies are adding the sugar. And the reason the sugar is actually present in those food and beverage options are twofold. One, way back when there was a focus on reducing fat intake in the U.S., we reduced the fat in these products, but then had to replace it with something, right, to make it more palatable. And sugar is definitely something that we are, you know, inherently wired to really like foods that are sweet. So it got introduced from that standpoint. The other reason that we have a lot of sugar in the foods and beverages is it's actually a preservative as well. So it helps to make products more shelf stable. So a good example is if you purchase like preserves or jelly at the store and it doesn't have added sugar, it doesn't last quite as long as, you know, a jelly that actually has sugar in it. So those are main reasons why we have a lot of sugar in our diet. One last point I want to make is, if you're also making products with lower quality fruits or vegetables, let's say you're trying to make a tomato sauce and it's not the season for tomatoes to be ripe and fresh, they're not going to be as sweet, and so you want to add sugar as well to make it more palatable. So those are kind of the main reasons why we're seeing so much sugar in products today.
If you're just joining us, our guest is Dr. Anisha Patel. She is from Stanford, the Pediatric Sugar Research Program there, and she's co-written a new book called Half the Sugar, All the Love. Dr. Patel, I notice that you also steer us away. I mean, we know high fructose corn syrup is something bad, bad, bad. But you even go so far as to say stevia is not good as an added sugar. And why is that? I mean, stevia we know to be a natural, I think it's an herb, isn't it? Or what is it? Enlighten us.
Yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of controversy around added sugar, what that means. So technically, added sugars are those sugars that are added to foods such as table sugar, so sucrose is a good example, or even maple syrup counts, honey, agave. In our book, we actually have a figure that shows the 60 different types of sugar and the names that you may see on products and packaging. And all of those types of sugar are really processed by the body in a pretty similar fashion with some nuances. And so the end product is you're still going to have some of the health problems, you know, regardless of whether you're eating honey versus agave versus maple syrup versus just your granulated sugar that you have at home. All those sugars count towards your daily sugar intake. Speaking to the sugar substitute, so those are products that have been developed that don't have calories, actually, but taste sweet. And so, you know, you may think of things like saccharin or NutraSweet. Those are examples of products that we're pretty aware of. And then the newer forms are more natural, like the stevia. The problem with those sugar substitutes are they are very sweet, but they don't have any calories. And so your brain, you know, senses that sweetness and is still expecting additional calories or something else coming afterwards. And there have been a few studies where they've actually done lab experiments where they've taken individuals and given them like a diet soda or a soda that's regular, you know, has a full sugar soda like a Sprite versus a diet Sprite. And then they've given them the option to have some sugary or salty snacks right afterwards, and they found that the individuals who had the diet soda were actually more likely to eat the sweet product than those who got the full regular sugar soda. That's going to say that we're not sure how these sugar substitutes are really improving health, and there's mixed results about their impacts on obesity, diabetes, other health conditions. They also may interfere with the healthy balance of bacteria in your gut flora, so the microbiome, and some of them are not fully evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. So those are all reasons why, for children in particular, we kind of say to steer clear of those sugar substitutes.
Huh, very interesting point. So mostly it's about the level of addiction that it's going to spark in our bodies and in our systems that will just in turn make us crave more sugar. I mean, we know this. If I start out in the morning with something sugary, I want sugar all day long. And that brings a question up. When I'm trying to not do sugar, I often will, when I'm craving it, I'll try to eat some protein. I don't know if I actually read that somewhere, or is that something I made up, my own theory?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it's great to try to find some type of substitute for the sugary foods. And especially in the book and in my clinical practice, I usually recommend that families actually, they're craving something sweet, think about, you know, a sweet fruit. Because the sugar that's in a fruit is different than the sugar you're adding to food products, because in addition, it does have the calories from the sugar, but it also has fiber and other nutrients and vitamins. And we know that fruit and vegetable consumption is actually linked to a number of positive health outcomes, and so it's really important that we boost our intake of those, because we know we're all pretty low. So that would be a good substitute. In the book, we also talk about how some, speaking of protein, like the nut butters, or even if you're not allergic or don't eat nuts, you could do like a sunflower butter. Those are also great substitutes. They lend a lot of natural kind of inherent sweetness and texture in a lot of the recipes, and so those are options as well.
And I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, and we also work with making sure kids in our local school system have food for over the weekends that we distribute every week from the Christian Center of Park City, and We deliver box mac and cheese, and that was on your list, your hit list. What would be a substitute that you would recommend?
Yeah, so it is challenging because a lot of the processed foods that are out there, they do have added sugar. So it's really important to take a look at all the products to see what the sugar content looks like. And currently with the nutrition label, it's a little challenging because there is a line item on the nutrition label for sugars, but that sugars includes both natural sugars that are inherent in food. So for the mac and cheese, for example, it'd be sugar. Let's say they added some granulated sugar to sweeten the cheese packet that's going to go into that mac and cheese. But there's also the sugar from milk, the lactose that's in the product as well. And so when you look at that sugars line item on the label, it lists a gram value, but that includes both the lactose as well as, you know, the sucrose that you're adding into the product. And so to get the information about the specific sucrose that's in the product or the added sugar, you would need to find an equivalent product and see how many grams of sugar in that and then do a subtraction, which is super complicated. No one can do that. So the good news is there's going to be a new nutrition label coming out that's going to actually have a line item that says added sugars, so it'll be a lot easier for individuals to know how much added sugars in a product. You still have to take those grams and divide it by 4 to get the teaspoon equivalent to help you know kind of if you're staying in target, but a good rule of thumb is look at the nutrition label. If you can't make sense of the nutrition label, look at the ingredients and see where sugar is in the list, because they're usually from the most common ingredient in the product to the least common. So that would be a good way to kind of take a look.
So perhaps just to synthesize that, you know, if we were going to try to make that modification, one, cook the noodles at home ourselves, throw in real cheddar cheese, and then use some substitute, not necessarily substitute, but
yes.
a soy
or if
milk.
You can't,
or,
you know, if you're doing this in a school setting and you guys can't actually make the product and you need to use a processed food item, just look, because out there, there are products that don't have added sugar. You just have to be savvy enough to, like, know which ones they are.
And your book is very visual and focuses quite a bit on recipes. What is your favorite one that, like, you just brag to the world about right now? Go.
Well, we have many favorite recipes in my family, but in my family, I have actually a 13-year-old and an 8-year-old, and they have been involved in the recipe development and testing process, as has my co-author's children, Jennifer Tyler Lee. She's actually worked to take the lead on the recipe development. And so we really worked with our families and our knowledge of what kids like to eat and tried to reinvent some of the recipes, but also tried to add some culturally relevant recipes as well. So in our house, we love the Chinese chicken lettuce cup for a number of reasons. One is it's kind of cool to make your own hoisin sauce at home. A lot of folks don't know that some of these condiments and sauces that you can buy ready-made have a lot of added sugar in them. And so by making it at home, you're able to cut out the sugar there, what we call a sneaky sugar, any foods that you think don't have sugar in them, but they do. So we love that, and we like to customize. So even though the recipe says to use white rice, we usually use brown rice because we want to increase our intake of whole grains. And we're also, trying to reduce meat consumption, so it's great that it's made with ground chicken.
From busy morning breakfasts, muffins and breads and snacks that would typically be sweet or filled with sugar, now they're not, to salads, chicken, fish and seafood, miso glazed salmon, shrimp pad thai. It all sounds so great. Again, the book is called Half the Sugar, All the Love, about 100 recipes. Dr. Anisha Patel, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life. Great points that you make.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to The Mountain Life. If you missed part of the show or want to share it, all our shows are posted within the hour on kpcw.org under the Shows tab. We also podcast all of KPCW's Public Affair Hour shows. Wherever you find your podcasts, you can find them under KPCW and the individual show name. So look for KPCW The Mountain Life and take us with you on your next road trip or commute.